We're going to continue this little series that we started last week called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God. And it comes from Paul's writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And, you know, on a cold winter's day, on a really, really cold winter's day, where the cold is actually cutting, it feels good to wear a heavy jacket, right? To clothe yourself with a heavy piece of clothing, right? To keep yourself warm and physically safe, physically healthy. On a cold winter's night, it feels good to clothe yourself with what? With a heavy blanket, right? To keep yourself physically healthy, warm, and to keep illness and disease away, right? I don't know anybody on a cold winter's night who likes to sleep without a blanket, right? We all like a heavy blanket on a very cold winter's night, right? And friends, likewise, it's the same way in our spiritual life, in our spiritual walk with God. There's certain spiritual virtues that we need to clothe ourselves with in order to remain healthy spiritually, in order to spiritually grow in our walk with Jesus, in our walk with God. And Paul lists some of these pieces of spiritual clothing, and we went over the first one last week. Let's turn, if you have a Bible, to Colossians 3, verse 12. Sure. Colossians 3, verse 12. Let me back up for just a second. In Colossians 3, Paul is talking to the Colossians about living godly and holy lives. He's giving them rules and guidelines at the beginning of chapter 3 on living a holy life. And he says, in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. On and on. He says, you know, as Christ followers, as godly people, we need to put these sins aside. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So the first piece of spiritual clothing that Paul lists in Colossians 3:12 is compassion. We need to clothe our spirits with the compassion of God. And just to kind of recap last week, what is compassion? What is Paul talking about when he says compassion? From the original language, he's talking about this pity, sympathy, feeling for someone who is hurting or suffering. How many have seen somebody here bleeding on the side of the road? Or somebody in deep suffering? How many here have seen somebody else in deep suffering at one time? It moves you on the inside, right? And we talked about last week, a mature God kind of compassion does what? And not only feels for the person who's suffering, but it does what? It does something to relieve the suffering and the pain of the person in need, right? And the illustration that we used was the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10, right? This Samaritan noticed a Jew who was beaten on the Jericho Road, right? He was moved with a God kind of compassion. Not only did he feel for this beaten Jew who was bleeding, he did something to relieve his suffering, right? What did he do? He bandaged his wounds. He brought him to an inn and he paid the bill. And he said to the innkeeper, if there's any extra expense, I'll reimburse you for it. So we need to clothe our spirit with compassion. Now this afternoon, the second piece of spiritual clothing that I want to talk about is the one called kindness. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Number two, kindness. Now, what does the word kindness mean? What image comes to your mind when you think of the word kindness? I've studied the word in the past. I studied it today. When you think of the word kindness, what do you think of? Think about that for a second. This is my definition after studying the word. It's doing that which is good and helpful for another person, whether or not they deserve it. It's doing that which is good or helpful for someone else, whether or not they deserve it. It also means a calm and gentle response to those who irritate or upset you. How many have been irritated or upset by somebody in the past? How many here have lashed out with anger? Some of us, right? But kindness is what? Kindness is that you respond calmly and with graciousness. Kindness also means actively doing good for those who may never thank you. Clothing ourselves with the spiritual virtue called kindness. Now, who are the ultimate examples of kindness? Who are the ultimate examples in the Bible of kindness? Think about it. First and foremost, God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, right? How does God demonstrate his kindness toward humanity? Okay, good. He demonstrates his kindness by his mercy. Mercy is not getting what someone deserves. You know, not receiving the punishment that people deserved. And when I think about this, when I think about God demonstrating his kindness by his mercy, the person I think about, the book I think about, is the prophet Jonah. How many here know about the book of Jonah? You turn to Jonah 1 if you have a Bible, but I'll kind of summarize it for you. You know, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jonah, and he said, Jonah, Nineveh is a wicked nation. I'm wanting you to go to Nineveh and preach to that nation so that they will turn from their wickedness. And what does Jonah do? Jonah openly disobeys God. He rebels. He goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So one day he's in a boat. And a storm arises, right? And that boat begins to rock back and forth. And everybody concludes in that boat that Jonah is at fault. So what do? They throw Jonah overboard. And God prepares a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now, if you read Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is crying out to God. He's repenting. He's saying, God, I'm sorry for disobeying you. God, please give me a second chance. So God does what? He demonstrates his kindness towards Jonah by giving him a second chance. It says in Jonah 3, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, you know, Jonah disobeyed the creator of heaven and earth, right? That's a terrible thing to do, right? To openly rebel against God. What would natural human thinking say? Natural human thinking would say, Jonah does not deserve a second chance. But not God, right? Because God is perfect. And God is kind. So God said, I am going to demonstrate my kindness to Jonah by giving him a second chance. And friends, he's the God of a second chance. He's the God of a third chance. You may have messed up in the past, but God is kind, and he is going to demonstrate his kindness to you. All you have to do, like Jonah did, is repent from going your way to going God's way. Turn away from your own way and start going God's way, and he will give you another chance because we serve a kind and a good God. Does that make sense? Now, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Let's go back to Jonah for a second. Now, Jonah disobeyed God and God demonstrated his kindness towards Jonah by giving him a second chance to preach to Nineveh, right? But in the book of Jonah, we also have to remember the Ninevites. Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Nineveh was a wicked nation, an unholy nation. place. They did all kinds of unholy things before God. They were wicked. They were vile. They did things that were just terrible. Right? It was a wicked nation. But guess what? According to natural thinking, they, the nation of Nineveh, according to natural thinking, should have been what? Should have been severely punished for doing these unholy things, right? Does that make sense? But Jonah preaches the word of God and says 40 days in Nineveh will be overturned. So what did the Ninevites do? What did the Ninevites do after Jonah preached to it? They repented. They changed their minds. They turned away from their own ways of wickedness, and they went towards God's ways of holiness, right? And look at Jonah 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. The nation of Nineveh repented after Jonah's preaching. And what did God do? He again demonstrated His kindness by what? By His mercy. He did not punish the Ninevites. And you know what? As I said earlier, natural human thinking would say what? It would say these Ninevites have been so unholy, so wicked, they deserve to be punished. Right? But not God. God did good to them. He extended His mercy, even though, according to natural human thinking, Nineveh did not deserve it. Does that make sense? God is kind. God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good. So God is the ultimate, one of the ultimate examples of kindness and goodness, right? Who is the other awesome example of kindness and goodness? Jesus. Right before Jesus went to the cross and during the crucifixion, Jesus suffered some really terrible things from His enemies, right? And I want to read that to you tonight or this afternoon from Matthew chapter 27 for just a moment. Matthew 27, verse 27. Let's look at what Jesus went through. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around Him. They stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on His head. They put a staff in His right hand and knelt in front of Him and mocked Him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on Him and took the staff and struck Him on the head again and again. After they had mocked Him, they took off the robe and put His own clothes on Him. Then they led Him away to crucify Him. Verse 32, Matthew 27. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered Jesus there wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, He refused to drink it. When they had crucified Him, they divided up His clothes by casting lots. After sitting down, they kept watch over Him there. Above His head, they placed this written charge against them: "Jesus, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with Him, one on His right, one on His left. Those who passed by hurled insults at Him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Verse 41, in the same way the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked Him. "He saved others," they said, "but He can't save Himself. He's the King of Israel. Let Him come down now from the cross and we will believe in Him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue Him now if He wants Him, for He said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with Him also heaped insults on Him. Friends, these were the enemies of Jesus, right? What were they doing to Jesus? They were scorning Him. They were mocking Him. They were belittling Jesus. According to natural human thinking, right? They should have been severely punished for treating Jesus Christ, God the Son, this way, right? You know, if it were me, I would have been like, "How dare you do this to Jesus? This is the only begotten Son of God. This is God the Son. How dare you belittle Him this way? I think some people would react that way, right? Just kind of get upset and angry for treating Jesus the way they did, right? But not Jesus. How did Jesus respond? In the midst of the mockery, in the midst of the scorning, in the midst of being belittled, how did Jesus respond to His offenders? Luke 23:34 clearly states it. Jesus, with a calm response, with a gracious response, says this. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And remember, two criminals were hung on either side of Jesus, right? Two criminals on either side of Jesus. And Luke records this in Luke chapter 23. I'll turn there for just a second. Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals in verse 39 says, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." So here's two criminals living lives of crime, being crucified for their acts of crime, right? According to natural human thinking, they should have been what? They should have been severely punished for what they did, which they were being, but you know, some people might have thought, you know what? These criminals both deserve hell. But not Jesus. That's not the way Jesus responded, right? He responded with what? Jesus responded with kindness. Remember, one of the criminals said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me today when you enter your kingdom. When you come into your kingdom, remember me." And how does Jesus respond? Calmly, graciously, Jesus answered him. Luke 23:43. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus forgave this criminal. Jesus demonstrated His kindness by what? By forgiving this man who had lived a life of crime. And friends, you may have been involved with some crime in your life, with something that may have been wrong. And guess what? Jesus is responding to the same way toward you. He's responding in the same way toward you today. You're forgiven. Just turn your life around and follow me, and you will be forgiving. Jesus is God the Son, and He is what? He is kind. Amen? And if we're followers of Jesus, that means we need to do what? That means we need to imitate Jesus, right? And we also need to live lives of kindness. We need to clothe ourselves with this spiritual virtue called kindness. Now, practically, on a day-to-day basis, how do we demonstrate kindness toward others? Number one, so easy. Simply doing good for somebody who is in need. Simply doing good for somebody who is in need. You know, last year, it comes to mind, I was working for this older woman late in 2007, and was doing some work in her backyard. She was about 88 years old at that time, right? She's walking up to the front porch to her front door, and she falls backwards, hits her head on the concrete, and really cuts both of her arms. She gets back up all by herself. She comes around to the back of the house and says, "Jonathan, I need your help." I said, "What happened?" She said, "I just kind of, something took over me. I got dizzy. I fell backwards, hit my head, scraped my arms, and could you help me?" I said, "Sure, let's go inside." So we went into the kitchen. She had her first aid kit, and I bandaged her wounds. She was an old woman in need of help. And what did I do? I did a kind thing. I did good for her. And in the days to come, in the weeks to come, I believe that God is going to bring across your path people who are in greater need than you. Will you express kindness towards that person? Will you do something good for that person in need? Will you clothe yourself with this spiritual virtue called kindness? So number one, kindness is expressed, demonstrated how? By doing good, right? For someone in need. And also comes to my mind last year around September of 07, a church group of young people got together and went to this home, this older woman, about 86 years old, different story, who lives around 6th and Peoria. And her house was just in need of repair. Seemed like that she didn't have many resources, much money. But we went to her house. We scraped her front porch floor. We primed it. And then we did what? We put a final coat of paint on it. She didn't pay us a dime, but what? She was a person in need. And what did we do? We did good to somebody in need. We expressed the kindness of God. And you know what? If God is doing it through me, He can do it through you. He can express His kindness through you as well. You know, the nation of Burma, how many have heard of Burma? Sits right next to the nation of India. It was just hit by a cyclone May 2nd. 100,000 people are feared dead. And they're in great need of help. So about five other ministries, including my ministry, Precious People, got together and we raised some money to buy food for these people, to buy them temporary housing, to buy them mosquito nets, to buy them purified water. We've never even met these people, but we're allowing the kindness of God to be demonstrated toward us, demonstrated through us toward a people who have never heard of Jesus Christ and the nation of Burma. That's the kindness of God. If He can demonstrate His kindness through me and others, He can do it through you, friends. So plain and simple, how do you demonstrate kindness? Number one, simply doing good for somebody who is in need, whether you've met the person face to face or not. Number two, how do you demonstrate kindness? By forgiving your offender. How many here have been offended? Somebody said or did something to insult you. You know, you might be thinking, man, this person does not deserve my forgiveness. And guess what, friends? If you write the person off and have nothing to do with them again, you're demonstrating what? Bitterness. But if you release the person from the apology you think that they owe you, you release them and reconcile with them, then what? You're demonstrating forgiveness. You're demonstrating kindness, friends. People will do and say things that don't quite sit right with us. Don't get offended. Don't hold on to offense. Just release it and let it go. Forgive your offender. You know, recently I was in a professional relationship with someone and he did something to upset me. And in my own natural thinking, I was like, man, this person has done this over and over again. I was about to write them off. I don't want anything to do with this person again. But I decided to demonstrate kindness by forgiving this person. Shortly after, I reconciled with them. And again, I'm in a professional relationship with this person. And friends, offenses will come. People will do things to hurt you, whether they mean to or not. Will you be kind and forgive or not? Say it with me today. I will be kind and decide to forgive my offender. Just as God in Christ has forgiven me of my offenses against Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. The third way you can demonstrate kindness in relationship toward others is this, is by responding calmly to someone who irritates you or upsets you. Let's turn to Proverbs 15:1 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll turn there. Proverbs 15, verse 1. We're coming to the close of this. Verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many here have been irritated by somebody? Upset by somebody? Something that maybe somebody said or did to you? First natural human reaction is to do what? Is to want to lash out, right? In anger. It's to want to strike back, right? But what does kindness say to do? Kindness says that you respond gently, calmly, graciously, the way God, the way Jesus would respond if they were in that situation. It's tough to do, but with God's strength, you can respond kindly to someone who irritates you, somebody who offends you. About a year ago, more or less, I was, again, in this professional relationship with this one person, and I had given him a request. I needed help with something. And I was paying my money, and this certain thing should have been fixed. And he kept putting me off, and I kept asking him to get this thing fixed on my house. He would not do it. So eventually, I went to his office. I had written him a letter before this, and he got upset with me. He lashed out at me and belittled me. He attacked my Christianity. He was just yelling at me, and everything on the inside of me, friend, wanted to lash back at him, wanted to strike back at this person. Like, how dare you embarrass me this way in front of other people? There was two other people present at this meeting. And this man was belittling me. He was judging my Christianity. He just lashed out at me. It took everything on the inside of me with God's strength to remain calm. I said, you know what? I said, I just want to remain on good terms with you. I was calm. I was gentle. At the end of the meeting, he shook my hand and we went our ways. Just recently, about a month ago, I saw him. He was really nice toward me. He said, hey, Jonathan, how are you doing? See, my gentle answer turned away his wrath. And friend, I'm here to tell you this afternoon that somebody is going to say or do something to really irk you on the inside. You know, maybe you're trying to lose weight. And this long-lost friend comes across your path and says, hey, you look like you've put on a few pounds. And you get irritated. And you want to strike back. What do you do, friend? Relax. Think about what you're going to say. Be calm. And respond graciously. That's the kind thing to do, right? Kindness would say, respond gently. Right? The fourth and final way to demonstrate kindness in your relationship with others is to do good actively to those who are ungrateful. And back in late 04, we were doing a lot of work with the homeless at the Salvation Army. Started doing services there back in late 04. And I remember that after one of the services, you know, we had given our all. We had done praise and worship. I had shared from the Word of God. We had fed the people afterwards. And this one gentleman came up afterwards just real gruff, just with a long face, just looking down, mean, upside down smile, and just told us how much he did not enjoy the service. You know what? We were trying to reach out and help him, right? And he was ungrateful, right? And you know what? I think he may have shown up in services after that. But even though he was ungrateful, even though some of the people there may have been ungrateful, we continue to actively do what? We continue to actively do good and help those people out. And friend, you may be in relationship with somebody that maybe you see this person every so often, every few days, maybe once a day, maybe once a week, and every time you try to do something in order to help them, you know what? They're just ungrateful. Don't even thank you. But what would kindness say to do? Kindness would say to continue doing good even though that person does not say thank you. The kindness of God. Paul the Apostle says it. Clothe yourselves with this spiritual virtue called kindness. Colossians 3. Verse 12. Friend, and as you clothe yourself with these spiritual virtues, you will stay healthy spiritually. You will grow spiritually in your walk with God, in your walk with Jesus. It takes us stepping out of ourselves, friends, to be kind to those who are ungrateful. It takes us stepping out of ourselves to help somebody who is in real need. It takes us stepping out of ourselves to forgive somebody who has offended us, who has insulted us. It takes stepping out of ourselves to do good to somebody when we don't think they deserve it. It takes us dying to ourselves to calmly respond to somebody who has irritated us. Has this made sense? How many could use a little more kindness in their life towards others? I think I could. I think all of us could a little bit, right? In our interactions with others, friends, we're going to be interacting with at least one person each and every single day of our lives, right? And in interacting with that person or those persons, guess what? This spiritual virtue of kindness has got to clothe our spirit. We've got to practice it. That's the way to grow with God. God will give you the strength. You know, sometimes it's tough to do, and if somebody really does something to hurt you, start praying to God. God, in my own strength, I can't be kind towards this person, but start praying to God in English, in tongues, and guess what? God will give you His strength in order to demonstrate His kindness through you to that person. Amen? All right, all right.